Very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dharma. Today we will start the morning chanting first, so that we don't have to wait later. We build up the faith first. But before the morning chanting, I think we will do the usual puja. So prepare yourself, compose your mind.Recall to mind all the great loving kindness, great compassion and wisdom of Lord Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Absorb them all in. Then with their faith, pay respect mindfully 3 times. Then we start.Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranam gacchami.Dhammang saranam gacchami, Sanghang saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranam gacchami.Tatiyampi Buddhang saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranam gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhaparang samadhiyami.Adina dana viramani sikkhaparang samadhiyami Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhaparang samadhiyami Musavada viramani sikkhaparang samadhiyamiSura meraya majapama tathana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect my point.Yourself, then make sure your body and mind is at ease, relax, in harmony. Then you can maintain joy inside. Relax, maintain joy, then happiness. Then try to radiate whatever metta you have. Everything that you come into contact with, okay?You see somebody or whatever inside your heart, you just radiate with them well-being and happiness. Then learn to smile more. Your heart has to slowly, slowly open up. To open up, you must have a lot of joy, a lot of love, a lot of happiness. These are the good mind state that you must have. So cultivation need understanding. When you understand, you cultivate very well, you will progress very well. Even the simple puja, you must constantly reflect, contemplate, and understand what is it that you are doing in the name of puja. Apart from just listening to what I say or believing what I say, you must contemplate. Otherwise, it won't go in the meaning. Understand? As you all know, the puja is useful because the Buddha introduced it to develop what? What does it develop? The confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, followed by the virya, the spiritual zeal. Then you pay respect mindfully. Okay? So the spiritual faculty will be strengthened. But apart from that, he also include in the puja many things. Asana. Why you chant the salutation? Why? Because it is a way to pay respect. Asana. Then you pay reverential salutation to the Buddha. This is a field of merit immeasurable. So when you do this, this is the merits that you will accumulate. Then after that, you take refuge. Refuge means what? These are safe refuge, understand? Means within this triple gem, you have the teaching. Apart from this triple gem, no teaching, I tell you. Because the Four Noble Truths are only found in this tree. The other teaching of other religion, they cannot summarize it so well, understand? So this type of teaching, you cannot find one. Like I explained to you the other day, that prototype is a blueprint, you know. It's not a prototype, very crude one. This blueprint, you cannot find anywhere, when I tell you. Other teaching, he teach here a bit, there a bit, everywhere. I give you an example, you know. Even J. Krishnamurti, they are very good in their respective field. Even the other religious teacher, I realize one thing they don't have. The Four Noble Truths. They are very good in the cultivation to go beyond thought, beyond mind, to connect to the nature. But to summarize all of understanding so that you can live life, so that you can understand life, both the mundane and the supramundane. So far, I can't find any teacher yet, any other religion yet. That's why the Buddha is very unique. That's why I have a lot of faith, a lot of gratitude when I know who he is, especially the Four Noble Truths, so beautiful. And within the Noble Eightfold Path, you will to ask yourself, what the Buddha teach under the Noble Eightfold Path? Most religion will have quite a few common things. Most religion teach you what? Avoid evil, do good. Correct? So how to avoid evil, do good? Keep precept, commandment, or whatever. Okay, they also have. Okay, do good means what? They teach you morality, right? View, right thought, right speech, right action. Then of course they tell you their belief system, which may not be a right view, understand? It's what we believe, understand? They say there is a God, Almighty God, or whatever, understand? But there is a belief, you know. It's not a blueprint where you can investigate and find out, because you must die before you know whether that one exists or not. Then they promise you the eternal heaven after you die. So nobody knows whether you are there or not. Then the kingdom of God. And sometimes a lot of things, maybe for the benefit of Monica's sister, some of the teaching that they tell you, I think it's their interpretation. You have to ask yourself. They only need one thing. Belief, eternal heaven. Non-believer, eternal hell. So what? If a person is very spiritual, very kind, very sincere, very virtuous, But just because he don't believe in that religion, condemned to eternal hell. Fair enough. Another guy commit a lot of nonsense, finally last minute agree to accept the religion, eternal heaven. He got such thing, no need to do good already. Understand? Last minute, convert, finish, accept, finish. So a lot of things you use your own simple intellect understanding, you should be able to deduce whether it is the truth or not, it's a belief or it's more to get people to join them through the fear they put in you, the threat. Disbeliever, no more future, gone. But if you say heedless, as if dead, it's different, isn't it? Understand? So all those heedless are, you know, that type of people, means cannot be virtuous and honesty. So you compare the thing, you will know. Then you look again, of all the Noble Eightfold Path factor, maybe right speech, right thought, right action, right livelihood, all religion has, then they have some form of views. It may not be the perfect right view. Then right effort to abandon all those wrong habit, wrong thought, wrong speech, maybe some religion also teach. Then they teach meditation. The only difference is they don't have mindfulness last time. The olden day in India, all concentration, jhana, kasina, everything. Understand? Then lately, after Sakyamuni Buddha came, then more and more people talk about present moment awareness. Understand? Sati. That's why you have Eka coming out with power now. Then you have Krishnamurti say, seeing things as they are. Then Bhayankati, don't argue with what is, means the reality and all that. So more and more people now realize mindfulness is very important. So this one, a lot of them have, like Eckhart also teach power now, but he don't have four foundation of mindfulness, do you realize that? He cannot teach you how to do it. He himself can do it because he has done it from the past. Then after that he share. But they are not a blueprint, not a systematic teaching. The Buddha one is so complete, rank and file. How you become deluded, how you become heedless, a fire hindrance to the spiritual faculty. Then everything is taught to you. Later I will cover the three evil roots. He tell you why are they evil roots. They are the roots of all evil. Greed, hatred and delusion. And the ultimate wisdom is to penetrate the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering, state and non-self. Nobody teach yet except the Buddha. Understand? Everybody talk about a personal God. Understand? The higher self, Atman, everything. But the Buddha said, no, this is not you, not me. Understand? This is karmically conditioned for us to use, manifest as a human being or a form of mind or a living being that come to this universe. Life is like that. You need a vehicle to come, understand? Our true mind, our nature cannot come, understand? You know why? Do you know why? Because it's just pure awareness, the oneness, no thought, nothing. So how to come? Understand? Cannot arise thought, cannot do anything, no form, nothing. That's why it's beyond form and mind, understand? That's why that one cannot come. So to come, what must you have? You must have a form and mind. Where does the form and mind come from? Your karmic nature, understand? Without karma, cannot come, understand? But the trouble is, all those that come through karma, most of them, 99.999%, deluded. Not enlightened. That's why they continue to take birth and death. They call it samsara. Understand? Wheel of life continuously turning for eternity. But because of the Buddha, he has realized the perfect enlightenment. They know the secret of coming. That's why they introduced the Bodhisattva way. Cultivation, the perfection of the 10 perfection that take very long. But at least they know how to come. They understand the karmic nature, the spiritual nature. Then they understand what this form of mind is. Then they know they can make vow, adhittana, understand? Make aspiration. Through this, they understand the whole secret of life. They perfected their karmic nature. They perfected their spiritual nature. So that every time they make aspiration to come with a form of mind, they can inherit this too, then they can become great beings, understand? Special beings. But then, when you are enlightened already, especially Arahant and beyond, actually you cannot come on, you know. Because Arahant, no more birth, understand? Cease. But those who go the Bodhisattva way, they're very smart, they break the secret. They know they need a mind to come, understand? So how? If you enter cessation, the Arahant, the mind, very still. It doesn't even want to talk to you. It's very still. Then it cannot come already, because after he died, or Parinibbana, you all call, not die, he didn't die. After Parinibbana, there is no more ignorance. No more ignorance means what? No rebirth consciousness, understand? So everything ceases. But what they did is, they pull this pure mind out. Understand? There is a pure mind. After the mundane mind collapse, there is a pure mind. You know what they do or not? They pull out the loving kindness and compassion. Because this is pure thought. Understand? So with the loving kindness and compassion, driven by the vow, karma can allow them to come. Understand? That's how they come. That's how this form of mind come. Understand? I never decide anything, but I know I got certain vow and I know how to come. And I always come at transition period when the condition is there. And there are a lot of things. That's why I look back. How come like that? All the timing is perfect. After Second World War, I was born. Then the transition period is, I see the old civilization, the 50s, the 60s and the 70s. Then the new civilization, the 80s, 90s, 2000, and now 2010 onwards. And we progress so fast. This transition is very powerful. Even when I went to Form 5, you know what happened? The transition is also the same. Form 5, I was caught in the British system, FPS. Me, Form 1, no, Sri and they also were no. That year they changed to metric. So again, transition. Then from SC, school circuit, they changed to MCE. That's why that year I was the first batch that kena casualty. Last time you don't have to pass bar assimilation to go to Form 6. In Form 6, you ask Sri Andhya, no bar assimilation subject one. You got general paper. The two maths, additional maths, mechanics, pure maths and mechanics, additional maths from fire, pure maths and mechanics. Then you have physics and chemistry, everything in English. And they refused to let me go to Form 6 because I feel bahasa. Go to Form 6, no bahasa. I cannot understand. But my karma very good. Somehow, my father saw my result, very unhappy and very angry. He scored so many A, cannot go, cannot pass, because bahasa fail. He went and see the headmaster. My father illiterate. He just asked the headmaster one question. Why my son, this result cannot go from 6? The headmaster first time looked at my result. Yeah, he scored 7A. How come he cannot go Form 6? He said, don't worry, I beg. You wait. He called the education office. So education office is a transition period. Bahasa is very, very important. You fail Bahasa? Fail. Straight away fail. The other subject, he don't want to look at it. Like SC last night, you fail English? Fail. Oh, the headmaster also don't know what to do. So he said, Cannot, very unfair. This student is so good, the result. You must do something. So they went and negotiated. So finally they got a solution. okay, allow them to repeat so that they focus on bahasa. So that whole year I repeat for five, I only study bahasa. And you know, the next year I score again. But bahasa, you know what I get or not, the grade? I got an 8. I almost failed. My form teacher, that Mrs. Ho, I think Kang Bing Kok will know. And they all were very excited. They went and see my result. You know what they look for? Now? They check my bahasa grade. They say that one pass, cultivate. So that was what happened. But karma take me along. I got an 8. Then I went to home 6. And then after that, I went to University of Malaya, do my civil engineering. That's why all these are transition period. That's why I look back. How come my life like that? I know how to come like that. Then why I choose that type of parent? Why my brothers and sisters are like that? Different, yet they can be my brother and sister. That's how I understand karma. I understand cause and effect, nature's law. And I like science, technology, physics, and all that. That's why nature's law, I understand very fast. Even physics, I understand very fast. My teacher will know, Mr. Kang. You know, when he teach me physics, he also find I very different. I can understand physics very fast, even chemistry, especially space-time mechanics, black hole, all those things. And when I went to university, do you know what happened? People study engineering, everything. First year, second year, third year, and fourth year, I spent a lot of time in the library looking for all these textbooks on space-time mechanics. That's why I read the Einstein theory, everything. All those, I like a lot of those funny maths. So these are the things that I inherited. That's why I came. I'm different. Likewise, you all also same. Where is Joyce? Oh, she just came in. I'm waiting for her to do morning chanting. That's why I tell you some story first. Okay, Joyce, come. Just nice. We want to change slightly. Do the morning chanting first, so that after that, they can meditate. Oh, thank you so much. I was trying to get somebody to get me hot water, warm water, and she brought. Thank you, Sadhu. Okay, Yun Chan. Together, both. Li Hun, okay, Li Hun. Morning chanting, Li Hun, okay. Now my only 2 mic, you take from here. Somebody help to take the mic. Okay, turn to page 19. Turn to page 19. Okay, compose your mind. Then we will start the morning chanting. Homage to the Buddha. Now let us chant in praise of the Buddha.
Tathagata, the one, the perfectly
enlightened one. He is impeccable in conduct and understanding, the accomplished one,
the knower of the world.
He trains perfectly those who wish to be trained. He is teacher of gods and human. He is awake and holy. In this world he is gods, demons and kind spirits. He is seeker and sages, celestial and human being. He has by deep insight revealed the truth. He has pointed out the Dhamma, beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, beautiful in the end. He has explained the spiritual life of complete purity in its essence and convention. I chant my praise to the Blessed One. I bow my head to the Blessed One. Okay, just a minute before we continue. There is this part, the second last sentence. He has explained the spiritual life of complete purity. See? That's why I say the Buddha is very wise. He can explain to you the complete meaning of life, both the mundane and supramundane. And because of that, his teaching is very special. The spiritual life of complete purity in its essence means ultimate truth, and convention. Convention is in the world, the conventional world. Understand? That's why he is very, very wise. And I tell you, very few people can understand the greatness of the Buddha, the great wisdom of the Buddha. You will come to know one day, when you come to understand his teaching. You get so much joy and respect for him, because he is such a great being. That's why for me, the moment 1972 or 73, when I saw that Four Noble Truths, immediately, no turning back. Straight away, I say, where to find such a teaching? It's not a prototype, it's a blueprint, no, already perfected. And nobody can do that, I say, unless you are the real one. Even I myself enlightened that time, if I have not heard of this, I cannot come out with it. That is the extent of the understanding I have. That's why after that, no more other religion. I stopped my search straight away. And I just know what to do. Very funny, the moment I saw this vulnerable truth, then when I met Chief Reverend, I told you, after the talk, I went to a temple. You know what happened? First day I went to Brickfield, I was on a motorbike. I heard the chanting, no? Pali chanting. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Radhanam Bhutang Srananga. Like very familiar, no? Just a vibration. Then I went in, I feel very good. No? Then I sat down. Then after a while, they passed the booklet around. I just looked, read. Then within 1 or 2 days, I know how to chant without the leaflet ready. Very funny. Then when they talk about the Pali word, the five aggregate, Rupang, Ani, Chang, wow, all those things like, it's already inside me, you know. Oh, everything went in. Then it understands by itself. Nobody teach me. Where got like that? Unless you have done it before, unless you have affinity with the Triple Yoga. That's why when you chant the refuge from your heart, Bhutang Saranang Gacchami means you sincere and serious to the Buddha. I really go for refuge, you know. You not just chant for fun, you know, like parroting. You know. No, because this is the Triple Gem. You cannot find the truth apart from the Triple Gem. That's why the Buddha is my refuge. We will be chanting all this in the evening chanting also. So when you chant, Bhutang Saranang Gacchami, I remember when I started, the feeling is there, the sincerity is there, and to the Buddha I go for my refuge, very strong. Then when it comes to the monk, also say, Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, then to Tiyampi, Bhutang Saranang Gacchami, also same, from the heart, very sincere. Then the refuge becomes strong, understand? Committed, sincere, confident. Then after that, the five precepts. Then you must reflect and contemplate. Why take the five precepts? To protect you, not to make life difficult for you, understand? So that you can avoid all evil. Then you rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu. Rejoicing is a very good mind state to counter the evil root, understand? Envy and jealousy is the evil root. But when you can rejoice, you don't have envy and jealousy, understand? You rejoice in the wholesomeness of others. If they get promoted, they're successful, you rejoice, understand? Otherwise, you get jealous and envy. So all this is to counter all this. Then after that, you start your Dhamma session. You listen to the Dhamma. All these are meritorious action. That's why the Buddha's way of teaching, very good, very powerful. Do not underestimate the devotional practice, the puja. It is very powerful and very important. A lot of people say, no need, one go meditate and now vipassana. You go and do. Without this, you are dead at the hell. Because this one is the foundation for everything. After that, towards the end, you make your aspiration. Remember? Ipmina punya. I already told you, very easy to go wrong on this teaching. Because you interpret through your thought. Understand? How to get it right? Even you get a right teacher, the teacher tell you also you don't understand what he tell you. Understand? So when you make the aspiration, Ipmina punyang kamina, mami bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yao nibana padia. You do it with sincerity, faith, and very strong virya. Understand? Then it invokes the nature's law to bring about the causes and conditions for you to avoid all the heedless and the foolish ones, meet up with the wise and the enlightened ones. Then only your cultivation can flow, understand? Then only you don't debate, understand? Because you aspire to realize Nibbana, understand? Nothing else. Not another perfect state where people tell you without basis. This one, he himself done it, and many of the disciples has realized it, and many of the cultivators who understand they have realized it. So this is the genuine one. That's why you can have faith in him. Very, very different. Okay? We continue. So hopefully with this, you understand puja, your religious routine. You know how to do yourself after this. Okay, we continue. Homage to the Dhamma. Now let us chant in the praise of the Dhamma.
The Dhamma is well expounded by the Blessed One, apparent here and now, timeless, encouraging investigation, leading inward to be experienced individually by the wise. I chant my praise to this teaching. I bow my head to this truth.
Now let us chant in praise of the Sangha. They are the Blessed One's disciple who have practiced well,
who have practiced directly,
who have practiced insightfully,
those who practice with integrity. That is the four paths, the eight kind of noble beings. These are the Blessed One's disciples.
Such ones are worthy of gifts, worthy of hospitality, worthy of offering, worthy of respect. They give occasion for incomparable goodness to arise in the world. I chant my praise to the Sangha. I bow my head to the Sangha. Now let us chant our salutation to the Triple Gem and a passion of encouragement.
The Buddha, absolutely pure with ocean-like compassion,
possessing the clear sight of wisdom, destroyer of worldly self-corruption, devotedly did that Buddha I revered. The teaching of the Lord, like a lamp, illuminating the path and its fruit, the deathless, that which is beyond the conditioned world. Devotedly indeed, that Dhamma I revered, the Sangha, the most fertile ground for cultivation. Those who have realized peace, awaken after the accomplished one, noble and wise, all longing abandoned, devotedly indeed, that Sangha I revered. This salutation should be made to that which is worthy, Through the power of such good action, may all obstacles disappear. One who knows things as they are has come to this world, and he is an Arahant, a perfectly awakened being. Purifying the way leading out of delusion, coming and directing to perfect peace, and leading to enlightenment, this way has been known.
Having heard the teaching,
we know this. Birth is dukkha, and aging is dukkha, death is dukkha, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are dukkha. Association with the dislike is dukkha. Separation from the lie is dukkha. Not attaining one's wishes to dukkha. In brief, the five focuses of the grasping mind are dukkha. These are as follows. Identification with the body. Identification with feeling. Identification with perception. Identification with mental formation.
Identification with consciousness.
For the complete understanding of this,
the Blessed One in his lifetime
frequently
instructed his disciples in just this way. In addition, he
further instructed. Okay, we chant the Pali. Rupam anicam, Vedana anicam, Sanya anicam, Sankara anicam, Vinyanam anicam, Rupam anatta, Vedana anatta, Sanya anatta, Sankara anatta, Vinyana anatta, Sabbe Sankara anatta anicca, Sabbe Dhamma anatta te. Wait. After we finish that, we need to. Okay, this is for you to understand. I think this one is very important too. All of us are bound by birth, aging, and death. Do you realize they miss out one thing or not? Birth, old age, sickness is not there. Straight away death. But they cover under sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. So, but it doesn't depict clearly what the Buddha meant. Actually, is sickness. But never mind. We just follow exactly this one first. All of us, you chant, Joyce, you chant. You know the rhythm or not?
All of us are bound by birth,
aging, and death. By sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. Bound by dukkha and obstructed by dukkha. Let us all aspire to complete freedom from suffering.
The Blessed One,
who long ago attained parinibbana, is our refuge. So throughout the Dhamma and the Sangha, attentively we follow the pathway of that Blessed One, with all of our mindfulness and strength. May then the cultivation of this practice lead us to the end of every kind of suffering. Okay, this one, even though for the monk, we can also recite and chant. remembering the Blessed One, the Noble Lord, and perfectly enlightened One, long ago attained Parinibbana, we have gone forth with faith and home to homelessness, and like the Blessed One, we practice the holy life, being fully equipped with the
systems of training.
May this holy life lead us to the end of this whole mess of suffering. Okay, we will do the closing puja straight away, eh? Because after this we can do some meditation. We chant the Thai tradition. Eh? Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Avivadini Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami Supatipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sangho Sanghaṃ Namāmi. Okay. Okay. So now we can do some contemplation. Huh? Like that day I mentioned. Huh? Remind me to go through this Anatta Lakkhana. Huh? You remember? The Sutta on Anatta. Eh? It comes together with the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta too. Yeah? So now you turn to the page on page 52. Eh? 53. Okay, good. Okay, page 53. Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. Eh? 52 and 53. Eh? Mm. Okay, we finish this one first. Huh? Hmm. Actually, the Buddha, when he started his first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, immediately after he met the five ascetics after his enlightenment, that was his first teaching. They always call it the first sermon. Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta is the turning of the Dhamma wheel. Dhammacakra is a Dhamma wheel. Chakra is wheel. Dhamma is Dhamma. So Dhamma wheel. Dhamma Chakra Pavatana Sutta. Means the first sermon, the turning of the Dhamma wheel, the turning of his teaching. So that was his first teaching. And this one is the most important, most powerful. And after that, immediately, he teach them the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. You know what happened? After he teach the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, one of the five ascetics, Kondanya, become enlightened. He become a Sotapan. So that one was already very good. But the more powerful one is this Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. The moment he finished this one, all five become Arahant. Understand? So today maybe some of you become Arahant. Okay, I will go through maybe the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta first, but I don't go through the whole thing. We are too long. This one is very long. You must go back and read yourself. Huh? This Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, huh? You turn to page 44. This is the first teaching of the Tathagata on attaining an unexcelled perfect enlightenment. See, this is first teaching. He is the perfect. Sorry, here is the perfect turning of the incomparable wheel of truth. Understand? Nobody can compare because he is so wise. Inestimable wherever it is expounded in the world. Disclosed here are the two extremes and the middle way or the middle path. With the Four Noble Truths and the purified knowledge, actually is wisdom, not knowledge. Wisdom and vision pointed out by the Lord of Law or Dhamma, means the Buddha. Let us chant together this sutta proclaiming the supreme independent enlightenment that is widely renounced as the turning of the wheel of Dhamma. See? Dhamma, Chakra, Pavatana Sutta. Chakra is wheel, eh? Dhamma is Dhamma. So, Dhamma wheel. Yeah. So, I will read to you the first paragraph, which is quite important. Thus have I heard, once when the Blessed One, the Buddha, was staying in the dear sanctuary at Isipatana near Benares, he spoke to the group of five bhikkhu or ascetic that used to follow him. His opening statement, he said, these two extreme bhikkhu should not be followed by one who has gone for, means who seriously want to go this spiritual way or renounce, become monk and all things. Sensual indulgence, why? The Buddha said, because it is low, which is low, coarse, vulgar, ignoble, and unprofitable. And self-torture means self-mortification, which is painful, ignoble, and unprofitable. Because during the Buddha's time, there are a lot of ascetics who got wrong view. You know what they do? In the Himalaya, they stand on one leg in the cold. They torture themselves. Then some they don't eat. Self-mortification. Then some they try to endure the severe cold and all those things. And they do a lot of funny behavior like a dog and all those things. Then just want to go through this suffering, self-mortification, means self-inflicted suffering. You know why they do that? They think their karma over the aeons of birth and death is very, very heavy. A lot of karmic debt to pay and so on. So he said, this suffering, if I can take it away, understand, through self-mortification, then one day no more dukkha, no more suffering, means I pay back everything, I become enlightened. See, this type of wrong view also here. So because of that, the Buddha saw a lot of this. Then when he became enlightened, he realized no need. Because the karmic thing is like that. You cannot finish karma, understand, no? Because it keep on accumulating one another. The karmic nature keep on accumulating it all. But the moment you become enlightened, it's like that karmic got no power over you. Understand? Because you're incapable of wrong view, negativity. You're incapable of doing wrong thing. But whatever you had done before, if there is condition, it can still affect the form of mind. Understand? But because of the wisdom connected to the form of mind, that form of mind doesn't suffer, understand? The brain, mentally, no suffering really, understand? That's why the Arahant or the great beings like the Buddha, the great Bodhisattva, they don't have mental suffering, understand? Physically, may be subject to all these karmic things. Then the consciousness trapped inside, it will feel all those things, but it is not deluded anymore, understand? That's why they cannot grubs, cannot cling, cannot hold, cannot be affected by it. They can never have any more sorrow, lamentation, any more fear. They are just wise. And all this is that nature developed the understanding, the wisdom connected to that form of mind. That's why that form of mind, you can say, enlightened, understand? Because somebody asked me one question, he said, Well, they are trying to go to Thailand on a trip end of this year. He said, they receive information from the people who help them to organize it. They will bring them to a lot of this good monastery, very old monks and cultivators, believed to be Arahant. You know. So these people are very famous and very well known in Thailand. So because of that, He told those going. Then those going, some of them, you know, very curious. How you know they are Arahant? You think Arahant got a chop on the forehead? So she got a problem. But how to tell them? How to explain to them? That's why when you have this type of thing, it's not how to tell them and how to explain to them. Understand? You have to find out yourself. Understand? Nobody can tell them. If they understand, they can feel, they can know, then they can quite confidently point out to you. But what I understand is the people who organize that, they base it on a book that Mahabhava, Longta Mahabhava, before he died, he wrote down. He said, after he is gone, look for these people. They are the arahants. And he dare to say, maybe he knows something, understand? So whatever it is not important, like I told her, what have you got to lose if you believe that they are arahant? As compared to the doubt. If you have doubt, you know how dangerous. You go and arrive wrong thought, and if happen to be the real one, what happens? You finish, your karma so severe, you simply talk. I don't think it's arahant. He doesn't look like arahant. You mean arahant must look like arahant? Because the physical is the physical. You look at Mahabhava, even the Buddha before he died, he told Ananda what happened. It's like a worn-out pulokat. So haggard, so fragile. But the mind inside is different. That's why there is still the radiant and everything. So it's up to you to feel them. You cannot see the outward appearance. That one sometimes can deceive one, you know. But when you feel their energy, when you receive their Dhamma, you will know one. That's why, like, I got one teacher, Prachanyandra, after I learned from him. Then later on, many years later, it seemed in Thailand, due to something, they tried to create problem for him. Then the government did so many of those things until his reputation totally reversed. No? And a lot of people go and believe what it was written. No? Until monk also talk about it, until my friend who are very close to me came and see me. Because last time I went with him to Kanchanaburi, he said, Tio, this friend also shaken. No? Hey, true one, la, the monk got proof. La. Then I look at him and say, his name is Uncle Ku. Uncle Ku, I said, come, we sit down. You and me went with him. You feel his energy, you feel his love, his compassion, his wisdom, and you receive his teaching. Why now you got doubt? Whatever people say, not important. Because what I receive is, I really know what he teach. And that transformed me. He given me so much faith, Dhamma, and understanding. What people say is not important. Do you really know him? When you know him, you know. What people say is not important. So don't worry about whether they are or not. Don't go and create a doubt. You got nothing to lose there. If you believe they are, your faith very strong, then you cultivate and you benefit. That is better than go and doubt. And you go and doubt and arise a wrong thought because you are still a puttujana. What happened? Hell or dangerous. So don't be foolish, understand? Whether people say true or not, open mind and find out yourself. But rejoice, understand? That's why you must rejoice. Don't go and create division and create unnecessary doubt and all those things. No point. So coming back to this one, the Buddha, through his understanding, he know you must not develop these two extremes. Sensual desire or sensual indulgence means you neglect the spiritual life. You are heedless, understand? You just want to enjoy life, understand? So what they do? He say, drink lah, have fun lah, womanize lah. That one maybe our joy. The early days she experienced. Finally, what happened? Come back to the Dhamma. Sensual indulgence can only make you miserable, you destroy your health, you got hangover and all those things, understand? Yeah, at that time you got a lot of fun. Ah, you laugh, you wanna, you smoke, you. But what are all this? You think that is pleasure? That is what life is? So you have to find out yourself, understand? So if you indulge in that, means you are not heedful. You are not spiritual. You neglect your spiritual life. And then you go and see what happened to all those people, including yourself. You find out. Then if you go and torture yourself and harm yourself, what happened to you? That's why the Buddha realized, he said, you must avoid these two extremes. So bhikkhu, By avoiding the two extremes, he said himself, the Tathagata has realized the middle way or the middle path. Understand? That's why the Noble Eightfold Path is called the middle path. Understand? Not the two extremes. Understand? But a deeper meaning of the two extremes is to transcend duality. Understand? No light, no dislike, no right, no wrong. And that is the highest. That is the Dhamma, spiritual duality. Yeah? Which means you avoid the two extremes of positive, negative convention, right or wrong, good or bad, like and dislike. So because of that, the Buddha said, the Tathagata has realized the middle way, which gives vision and understanding, which lead to calm, penetration, enlightenment, and nirvana. Actually, here the English translation is not so good. You look at the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundations of mindfulness, and that is very good. The Buddha said, Ekayano Bhikkhave Bhikkhu, is it? Omang Bhikkhave is monk. Ekayano is the only way. For the purification of being. Then he said, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, leading to the holy life, the spiritual life, leading to disenchantment, the fading away of desire, leading to cessation, leading to purity, to the enlightenment. Yeah. So that is the more accurate, deeper meaning. But anyway, we just follow because it's translated that way. Yeah? Maybe that time they do it just this way. Oh, I think I got brain. You are lucky. The actual translation I got bring. Yeah. Remember this book? Those who don't have, I got two copies. I don't know who are the lucky ones. This one was written by me earlier on, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. At the back is Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. This one is the more accurate version. I edited from the Thai chanting book. They are already quite good, quite accurate, but I refine a little bit of it. So I read to you. The Buddha said, O Bhikkhu, by avoiding these two extremes, the Tathagata has found out the middle path, or the middle way, which gives rise to vision, gives rise to wisdom, which tends to peace, higher wisdom, enlightenment, and nirvana. Then, there is another part at the back. We go on. And what Bhikkhu is this middle way or middle path realized by the Tathagata, which give rise to vision and understanding, which leads to calm, penetration, enlightenment, and nirvana. It is just the Noble Eightfold Path, namely right view. Here they put right intention. Actually, it's not intention, it's right view leading to right thought. Then right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi, not concentration, samadhi. Truly bhikkhu, the middle way understood by the Tathagata, produce vision, produce wisdom, and lead to calm, penetrative insight leading to enlightenment and nirvana. Then after that, he explained the Four Noble Truths. He explained the first Noble Truth he proclaimed. Birth is dukkha, aging is dukkha, and all these things. That's why you chant them. Then the second Noble Truth, third Noble Truth. Then you turn on to, you skip that. You turn to page 48. 48, 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph. This one is the most important. This one I always want to explain to you about the three turning, the 12 mode is here. I think Danny, they all also want to understand. Brother Gan wrote to me, asked me to talk on the threatening. It's like they haven't heard of. This threatening, only the Mahayana emphasize a lot. But it's in the Theravada Sutta, it's in this Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. So the Buddha said, so long, Bhikkhu, as my knowledge and vision of reality regarding this Four Noble Truths in its three turning or three phases and 12 aspects, means what? Four truths times three is 12, was not fully clear to me, I did not declare to the world of spirit, demons, and God, with its seeker and sages, celestial and human beings, the realization of the incomparable perfect enlightenment. See? He himself also must understand the Four Noble Truths in his three turning and his 12 mode or aspect. Otherwise he cannot be called the fully enlightened one. Understand not? But when Bhikkhu, my knowledge and vision of reality regarding this Four Noble Truths in his three turning and 12 mode was fully clear to me, I declare to the world of spirit, demons, and gods, with its seeker and sages, celestial and human beings, that I understood incomparable perfect enlightenment. Knowledge and vision arose. Unshakable is my deliverance. This is my last birth. There will be no more renewal of being. So thus spoke the Blessed One. Glad at heart, the group of five bhikkhu approve of the words of the Blessed One. Then at this moment, Kondanya became enlightened. As this proclamation was proceeding, the spotless, immaculate vision of Dhamma appeared in Venerable Kondanya, and he knew everything that has the nature to arise has the nature to cease. See? Exactly the same. Asana, nature's law. Condition arising, anasana. When there is condition for it to arise, it will arise. When there is condition for it to cease, it will cease. Means when condition cease to be, the phenomena cease to be. Anasana. Everything is condition arising. Like your form and mind, your loved one, your wealth, your possession. When condition you own, anasana, come to you. Even though biologically give birth by you. Oh, I'm the mother. Are you attached to that, you become miserable if your son turned out to be the funny one. But it's a form of mind. You also form of mind. You never understand. When there is condition to love, you must love. But don't attach. There is affinity with you, be your children. You have a duty and a responsibility towards them. Provide for them. Care for them. Love them. But don't attach to them, understand? Means what? If you do this, this is your duty, understand? You're supposed to advise them and provide for their education or whatever. So that in future, this is your karma. You take care of them properly, you will have good parents who will take care of you, understand? That's why you don't come here and complain, why my father so irresponsible? Don't bother about the house. Last time you father irresponsible, you never complain. That's why you land yourself in this situation. This is karma. But if you have been a good dad, a good mom, you have this love and care, then you don't attach. In future, you will have parents who care for you, love for you, and also won't attach to you. That's why you will have the good life. That's why karma is like that. You reap what you sow. Whatever goodness you do, come back to you, understand? If you neglect your life, irresponsible, in future you have parents who do the same thing to you. Then don't blame people. Even your husband, your spouse are same. Why my husband like that? Last time you become husband, you do to another lady, you never say, why are you like that? Understand? So, take care of karma means what? Avoid all evil, the Buddha said. When you avoid all evil, means what? No condition for negativity. You never make people miserable. You never commit any evil thing. Then you never have to go through that. There's no condition. That's why some people, when they are born, they are so blessed. No need to suffer. See or not? That's why when you understand this nature's law, this secret of life, you know how to live. Understand or not? Otherwise, every life you come, you complain. Why the world like that? Why God so unfair? Only you very fair. That's why living being actually very pitiful. Oh, I got to go faster. Okay, wait, finish. So no more. So this is the 12 link. And this one corresponds to the 3 types of wisdom. But I have no time to explain to you. Okay, turn to page 52. The discourse on the characteristics of anatta or non-self. Anatta lakana sutta. All beings should take pain in understanding the characteristics of anatta, non-self, which provide matchless deliverance for self-belief, means sakaya ditti and self-perception. This is the wrong view that Buddha talked about, understand not? But anatta, the meaning is very deep, understand not? It's not only non-self. Non-self is just one small aspect of anatta, understand not? Anatta is empty nature. Every phenomenon in this entire universe, even in the unconditioned, not only non-self, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can hold on to and cling on to, understand? Because it's empty, understand? It come and it go, understand? Like I explained to you earlier on. Existence, life, the reality is here and now, isn't it? Moment to moment, life passes by. The rest are not a reality. Past already gone, not a reality. Future yet to come. The moment is the only reality. So moment to moment, life passes by. As real as it can be, this moment it arises. Next moment is gone. Then all memory. How real is it? Tell me. That's why it's empty. You can talk about it. Everything is mind-made. When this breath stops, this mind don't arise. What is that? You also don't exist. You cease to be. When you cease to be, everything that you hold in your thought also disappears. And then, there is nothing. That's why when you understand this, you see very clearly. Anatta, empty nature, not so real. That's why don't hold, don't cling, don't grab. It's only a thought. It's only consciousness. The world of consciousness, phenomenal world, with the characteristic. And you are not wise enough to see this before your enlightenment. After you awaken, you are very wise. You can see it. And then you cannot be Then you can live in the world and make use of all this. And yet, not entangled by it. Understand? And that is the secret of life that the Buddha teaches. Understand? So now we go on. We want to understand how he shared this. As taught by the Supreme Buddha, this teaching is given so that those who meditate on experienceable reality may arrive at perfect comprehension. It is the development of perfect understanding of this, what they call phenomena, and for the investigation of all defiled mind moments. The consequence of this practice is total deliverance. So desirous of bringing this teaching forth with its great benefit, let us now recite this sutta. Thus have I heard, at one time, the Blessed One was dwelling at Benares in Deer Park. Then he addressed the group of 5 monks or ascetic, or bhikkhu. Form bhikkhu is non-self. If bhikkhu, form were self, then form would not lead to affliction. Clear or not? If this is you, then you can decide, you tell. Don't fall sick, don't get old, don't die. And then, it's really atta, you, full control, understand? But form is not you. That's why it doesn't obey you. Like I told you that day, you want to get sick, it never asks you permission. So now the Buddha explained to them, form, if it's self, would not lead to affliction. And one might be able to say in regards to form, let my form be thus, let my form not be thus. But since, bhikkhu, form is not self, form therefore leads to affliction. And one is not able to say in regards to form, let my form be thus, let my form not be thus. Means you got no control, understand? It's not you, understand? Feeling is non-self. If bhikkhu feeling was self, feeling would not lead to affliction. This one repeated. Perception repeated, mental formation repeated. Then you turn to the next page. Consciousness also repeated. After this, the Buddha teach them, he said, what do you think about this, bhikkhu? Is form permanent or impermanent? So they reply what? Impermanent, Lord. But is that which is impermanent painful or pleasurable? See, he used suffering. Yeah. Because it's impermanent, yeah. You cannot own and hold. Yeah. It was separate from you. Yeah. That's why it brings about pain. Understand not? When you cannot get what you want. Understand not? When it dies, when it ceases to be. So the Buddha said, but is that which is impermanent painful or pleasurable? Then the bhikkhu realized, painful, Lord. But is it fit to consider that which is impermanent, painful, of a nature to change as this is mine, I am this, these are mine. That's why it's impossible. So the Buddha used this. Then they answered, it is not, Lord. Then he said, what do you think, bhikkhu? Is feeling permanent or impermanent? So he repeat the same. So they say impermanent. Then he said, but is that which is impermanent painful or pleasurable? Again, they realize feeling is painful, actually, because it come and it go, understand? Not? Then when this feeling disappear, another feeling will arise. So this feeling, if you attach and cling, you will have what they call unhappiness, understand? Not? Then if it's a painful feeling associated with your form, they call it dukkha dukkata. When there is sickness, disease, and all those things, or you got an injury, understand? Not? That consciousness will manifest. So they realize feeling also same, impermanent and painful, means lead to suffering. So he said, but is it fit to consider that which is impermanent, painful, and of the nature to change as this is mine, I am this, this is myself. See? This is the logic the Buddha used. So you realize if it's impermanent, causing suffering, condition arising, how can you hold, how can you own, how can you say this is me, this is I, these are mine? It's impossible. Understand? So he used this to break the delusion, the sakayadity. So because of that, you continue until consciousness. Then you turn to the next page. Wherefore, bhikkhu, whenever form, whatever form there is, past, present, or future, internal or external, gross or subtle, few, inferior or superior, whether it is far or near, all forms should, by means of right wisdom, means right understanding, be seen as it really is, seeing as they are, understand? As thus, this is not mine, I am not this, this is not self, understand? And then the sakayadity will slowly become weaker and weaker as you contemplate and reflect. That's why this five aggregate, you reflect, you contemplate, then you develop the wisdom. And through in the meditation, directly seeing all these things, not just an idea or concept. At that time, they can become arahan because they already with the Buddha together cultivate for very long. The Buddha only need to let them understand certain things, and then immediately they connect to their past and they awaken. So because of that, the Buddha repeat for feeling, perception, mental formation, and consciousness. Then he said, seeing in this way, bhikkhu, the wise noble disciple become, this is the key word, disenchanted with form, understand? No longer deluded, no longer gullible, understand? Becomes disenchanted with feeling, become disenchanted with perception, mental formation or sankhara and consciousness. Becoming disenchanted, their passion fade away. With the fading away of passion, the heart is liberated. With liberation, there comes knowledge and vision of the reality or wisdom. It is liberated, and they know. Destroy is birth. The holy life has been lived. Done is what to be done. Means beyond training. Understand? The anxiety has sikas and asika. There is no more becoming or coming into any state of being. Means they know they already enlightened. Arahant. Thus spoke the Buddha, the Blessed One. Delighted, the group of five ascetics rejoice in what the Lord or the Buddha had said. Moreover, while the discourse was delivered, the mind of the five bhikkhu were free from defilement through clinging no more. So this is how they become arahant. So the end of the discourse on the characteristics of anatta. So this anatta lakkhana, you see, during that time, the Buddha just explained that. But now you can understand better. Understand? Form is only element, no knowing. How can it be you? Understand? This is more easy to understand and more penetrative. Isn't it? Then feeling come and go. Isn't it? After it's gone, you didn't die. Isn't it? So how can feeling be you? Understand? So feeling is condition arising state. Understand? A byproduct of the true nature. It's a mundane mind, not your true mind. Understand? If your true mind, it will stay. Understand? But because that true mind is not a being, understand? You cannot say me, I. That's why sabbe dhamma also anatta, understand? It's just a nature, understand? Pure awareness. The essence of mind, just aware. Like last night, I think, Sister Bear, Mrs. Kaur, she asked a very good question. He said, Virgil, you need light also, isn't it, to see. You remember last night? I alone cannot see. Mind alone cannot see. With I, with mind, with light, can see. Understand? So actually, she was right. So I told her, yes, the Surangama Sutta got one section. After the human being with the eye and with the mind, the Buddha said, bring this guy into a dark room. Can he see or not? Huh? Dark room, no light. He cannot see. Correct? She is here. I can't see. Oh, yeah. We were talking about your question. You need light to see. Sadhu. She is the one who asked me. Very good. So, you go to the dark room. No light. Cannot see that. So, I alone, mind alone cannot see. I and mind, without condition, light, also cannot see. Understand? So, now you see the condition arising. Then you know what the Buddha told Ananda. He said, go and light a candle. Suddenly you can see. You know. So the Buddha asked, the seeing come from where? Ananda so fully. You know. The lamp. Without the lamp, I cannot see. He said, the lamp. The Buddha shake his head. How can the lamp see? You know? The lamp illuminate the light. Become the condition, it unreal to you. The sense data, the condition for it to enter. So all these are conditions for its arising or seeing consciousness, anasana. Means on its own, all these conditions alone or separate, not enough condition, seeing consciousness does not arise, anasana. But then you ask yourself one question, like hearing, hearing, okay? You need sense data for hearing conscious to arise. Vibration, sound, or what imprints on your ear, then contact consciousness arise. Correct? Without sense data, nothing. Then I ask you another question. Let's say, like last night we meditate, complete silence, no vibration, no sound, no chipping on the bird, nothing. Suddenly still. Who is the one that knows that there is no sound? Still. No hearing consciousness. Who? Your essence of mind, understand? Like the silence of nature. Do you understand? The silence of nature was always there. But you never perceive that silence because the phenomena is everywhere. You are so noisy inside and outside. That's why you never perceive the silence. But in the middle of the night, when everything is so still and so quiet, when all the activity ceases, you suddenly can perceive the silence. Last time I studied, I used to perceive the silence in the middle of the night. Suddenly so still, like you can perceive that silence. That silence was all the while there, you know, no? Like your true nature is all the while there, you know. But you never have the opportunity or condition to realize that because you think a lot. That's why you are very busy, yeah? Very noisy inside and outside. Everything attracts you, understand? Then you create thinking, perception, thought, everything. You worry so many things. But the moment you silent, you realize it. So that silent, there is no hearing consciousness, understand? What is that? That is your essence of mind, understand? This essence of mind is just aware, understand? That's why this one is always there, understand? That's why it can be aware of silence, understand? That's why there is the essence of seeing, you know, where she say got wall block also cannot see. That is seeing consciousness cannot see, understand? Where you need light to come through, understand? But the essence of mind can see, understand? That's why this one, no need organ, it can see. That's why those with divine eye, even out of body experience, they tell you, vegetable, unconscious, in stroke, that Anita something, you all received the email that she was lying in the bed, outside the wall. He can see the husband and the doctor talking and all those things. Then simultaneously, India, the brother, this is your essence of mind, understand? That nature, all pervading, understand? And split second is there already, faster than the speed of light. So this is how it functions and manifests. The essence of mind, you cannot perceive it because you are clouded by your thought, your thinking. Like the sun, when the cloud is there, you never know there is a sun. The sun behind is ever shining. That is like your awareness, always there. But because of the cloud, it cannot shine forth, understand? The awareness, the deep cannot shine forth. Oh, we have to end. We have our break first. Okay, sorry. We just end now. Okay, we will do the quick one. Pay respect to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. We chant the Thai tradition. Arahang sama sambuddho buddhang bhagavantang avivademi swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Sanghang Namasami.